Aaron Sorkin is the award-winning playwright and screenwriter. Some of his works are A Few Good Men, The American President. And a few years ago, he gave the commencement speech at his alma mater, which is Syracuse University. And in that commencement speech, he said that his great break as a writer occurred in the very lecture hall where he was speaking to those graduates just a few years ago. And what I'd like to do, if I could, if I may, is to just simply share with you a little part of this commencement speech that he spoke to these graduates. And he says, as a freshman, part of my core requirement, it was to take a class with Professor Jerry Clark that met for an hour and a half twice a week. We read and discussed two plays a week and received a 20-question true and false quiz at the beginning of each session that tested a little more than whether we had read the play or not. The problem was that this class met at 8:30 in the morning, and from time to time the weather's not so great in the city of Syracuse, and all this going to class was having a negative effect on my social life in general, and my sleeping in particular. And at one point, being quizzed on Death of a Salesman, a play I had not read, I gave an answer that indicated that I wasn't aware that at the end of the play, the salesman actually dies. And I failed the class. And this had consequences. It not only meant that I would have to repeat the class my sophomore year, but that in the drama department, students aren't allowed to perform until they have completed freshman core. And that meant my F meant that I would not be on stage for another year. It was the low point of my life. It was depressing, frustrating, and infuriating. My sophomore year, I went to class, and I paid attention. We read plays, and I paid attention. We read Aristotle, and I paid attention. Something was happening to me in that class. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I was actually paying attention. I have stood in the back of Eisenhower Theater at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., watching a pre-Broadway tryout performance of my play, knowing that when the curtain came down, I could go back to my hotel room and fix the problem in the second act with tools that Jerry Clark gave me. 4 years ago, I was introduced to Arthur Miller at a Dramatists Guild function, and we spent a good part of the evening talking together. A few weeks later, when he came down with the flu, he called me and asked me if I would fill in for a day as a lecturer at City University in New York. The subject was Death of a Salesman. When I give interviews and the interviewer asks me what was my big break, I tell them it was a day Jerry Clark flunked me and said, "Come back, and next time, pay attention." Last week, we talked about how Jesus sent his disciples out two by two that they might be able to share this awesome vision Jesus has for the world. And I said to all of you that them going out two by two is kind of code for you and I becoming a team, you and I becoming a community with a common purpose. And so Jesus needs us if the world's ever going to know his good news. And you and I need each other if we're ever going to become the intentional disciples that we and he longs for us to be. And so you and I cannot become Christians in isolation. It's impossible. We are called to be a community with a common purpose. We're supposed to actually care for one another. Or maybe as Aaron Sorkin would call it, pay attention to one another. And this week, the disciples, after they get back from this awesome mission on their part, Jesus says to them, come away to a deserted place and rest for a while. And what they did last week, we heard of it, must have been so remarkably successful and beautiful that the people actually beat them to this deserted place. They want to be fed so very badly because there were sheep without a shepherd. So their first time out there must have been remarkably, remarkably successful. But my hope is that somewhere along the way, after Jesus cared for these people, that he pulled the disciples apart again and took them for some deserted place to rest for a while. So last week, we were being invited to pay attention to one another. And this week, we're invited to find these deserted places in our lives where we pay attention to Jesus and our relationship with him. And what is the meaning and the purpose of my life? And so my great question for all of us here today is simply this. Where are those deserted places in your life where you're able to go to have this deepen this relationship with Jesus and find the deeper meaning of your life? And I'm not talking about going on vacation. And as awesome as vacations are. And by the way, there's so many people tell me they've gone to the shore recently. How many people have been to the shore, by the way, so far this summer? Do you meet people from Johnstown there? Because everybody seems to be going to the shore, you know, which is great, which is awesome, which is good. But we're not talking about that. These deserted places here are supposed to be technology-free zones, media-free zones, distraction-free zones, places where you and I can go to be away from all the distractions of life and ponder our relationship with Jesus and also our relationship with one another as well. There is an awesome book written by Anne Morrow Lindbergh. She is a brilliant author, the wife of Charles Lindbergh, and the mother of a little child, 20-month-old, who was kidnapped and eventually murdered. And Anne Morrow Lindbergh wrote this modern-day classic entitled Gift from the Sea, which is all about her life as a wife, as a mother, as how does she deals with loneliness, how she deals with grief and loss in her life, and what about these deserted places? As a matter of fact, I think it's one of these books that shares the art of what it means for you and I to pay attention. And she did it at the shore, by the way. And in one particular chapter, she entitles the chapter Moonshell, and she's talking about these deserted places in our lives. And she starts off by saying that every single person, and she says, most especially every woman, should be alone sometime each year, part of each week, and part of each day. And then she goes on to say that she went to the beach and she took a moon shell. I didn't know what a moon shell was until they show a picture of it in the... Everybody know what a moon shell is? Do you know? Okay, a moon shell. You'll see it in the picture in the book. She takes one home to remind her to find these deserted places in her life. And then at the end of the chapter, she's talking to the moon shell, and she says this, "You will remind me that unless I keep deserted places intact somewhere in my life, I will have little to give my husband, my children, my friends, or the world at large." And of course, many people have many different excuses of why we don't find these deserted places in our lives. And usually people will say to me, and this is the one I've heard the most often, "I'm too busy." But I have found out that "I'm too busy" has nothing to do with being busy. It kind of means something else. It means I'm afraid. I'm afraid to let God get that close in my life. I'm afraid of what I might find inside of myself. It means I don't know what to do if I ever got there to one of those deserted places. It means what will others think of me if I begin to live in this kind of a way? And I will admit to you, it takes a certain conviction to find these kinds of places in our lives. But if you do, you will find a depth, a quality of life. In other words, you begin to get out of the shallow end of the pool and you begin to move out a little bit more into the deep. And people who find this deserted place in their lives have a quality, they have a depth that others just simply do not experience in their lives, as we're always living on the surface of things. So I asked a whole bunch of people, I asked this weekend, I said, so what is this deserted place in your life? And got all kind of different answers for that. My deserted places are sitting right here early in the morning. The church is open about 5:45, and whenever I get here, I'm not the first one here. There's other people who beat me to the church in this place, and so I'm here. In the evening, I have a little tiny room up in the rectory over there, which I go, that only is meant to be one of those places in my life. And every once in a while, and oftentimes I have beads in my pocket, and I will pray the rosary and ponder the mysteries as I go around my day. But what are those deserted places in your lives? And people will say this: going for a walk, stack house, the cemetery, the rocker in my bedroom, my back porch at 6 o'clock in the morning, my front porch in the evening, church, a little coffee shop where I'm not interrupted, and one poor young mother said, the bathroom. The only place she can ever get alone is in the bathroom. But the most important thing is the only criteria is that it's deserted and a place where you and I can simply for a few moments pay attention. Allow me to close with this little prayer to sort of like bring things to a close for us. It's called Slow Me Down, Lord. Let me close with this. Slow me down, Lord. Slow me down. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Give me amid the confusion of my day the calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tensions of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Help me to know the magical restoring power of sleep. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, deserted places of slowing down to look at a flower, to pat a dog, to read a few lines from a good book. Remind me, Lord, that each day of the fable of the hare and the tortoise, that I may know that the race is not always to the swift, but there is more to life than increasing its speed. Let me look upward to the branches of a flowering oak and know that it is great and strong because it grew slowly and well. Slow me down, Lord. Help me to pay attention. Inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of life's enduring values that I may grow toward the stars of my eternal destiny.